Right, Mark is just about ready. He's asked me to do a reading first. If you want to find it in your Bibles, it's John 8, verses 31 to 36. The truth will set you free. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Also these words from Galatians 5, verse 1. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery."
Just so you know, these are part of the sermon. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you, yes, you set us free.
Yes.
You set us free from all things that hold us back and burden us. And Lord, I thank you for this morning that we can get together in your name again and just look at your word and just release these things you want to take off us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can see, I'm a little bit hindered this morning. And this is what happens when we carry burdens around with us on a daily, hourly basis. We try and carry these things around in our lives, and all they do is, as you can see, these are quite heavy. They weigh us down. They stop us moving freely. They stop us from making real progress in life. Now, of course, with these burdens that we carry around, do we not try and take them off ourselves? Do we not try and get the key of striving to unlock the padlock? But unfortunately, that one doesn't work. What about the key of attainment? Trying to prove ourselves. But nope, that one don't work neither. Here's what. What about our own performance? How do we unlock it on our own performance? Yep, that ain't happening either. Normally, as a last resort, though, we get this key. And this is the key of Jesus. Now, at this point, I'm praying that Wendy hasn't actually swapped the keys while I wasn't watching. Otherwise, I could be in trouble here. So, hopefully... That's why
I have that
able thought. Somewhere in here is the key that will unlock it. The problem is, we take it off and we think, that's good, that's comfortable. But unfortunately, we tend to do this again and think, I still need to carry these things around, because am I really worthy of all this release? Do I not need to, under my own effort, take them off? You know, there's labels we carry around. Did God really say that to me? Here's one I get really wrong. Comparing myself to others is a real burden I try and carry around. I've done it again. That habitual sin I may have fallen into once again. Guilt, shame, and everything else that we think we need to carry around as burdens we carry ourselves. And Jesus says, no, it doesn't belong on your shoulder. It belongs at the belt, at the bottom of the cross. Because Jesus has dealt with it there. Whatever burdens you're carrying around with you today, that's where they belong. Not on us. We have been released by his power and his might and his mercy and his forgiveness. So we don't have to evermore carry a chain of burdens around with us. We need to stop doing this. I know Dave said a few weeks ago, we need to let go of all these things that we think we need to carry around and we think we need to deal with under our own strength, our own will. And Jesus says, no, you need to leave them there, because at that point I buried them. The problem is, we get so familiar with carrying those things around with us, don't we? They almost become part of us, even part of our identity if we're not careful. Because we get so used to carrying those lies of the devil around with us to stop us actually performing free and easy for Jesus. That's why he puts these burdens on us. See, we hold on to these things we know despite the pain. Despite the pain, we still seem to think we need to hold on to these things. We'd rather trust in the things that we know than trust in the things we don't. And that flies in the face of faith. Assurance of things not seen. And if we're not careful, our faith gets diminished by the burdens we think we need to have to carry around. Not trusting in the one who's actually taking us to a better place. That allows us to be free in this life, to have an abundant life, to have a full life. Because we seem to think we have to carry these things around with us. You know, Israel got released from slavery. And what did they do? We want to go back. We'd rather be back there with all the pain and the misery than actually trust in somebody that will actually set us free from where we've just been. And we can fall into that trap of wanting to go back where we were rather than go forward with Jesus, who proclaims and says, come with me. You are now free from all of this. You know, there's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And it's quite a tough word, contempt. In other words, we become so comfortable in our mess that we've become careless in our faith. And it's a dangerous place to be. See, we have a choice. And I don't know whether you've listened to Aidy's and Tom's sermon in the last couple of weeks, but we were talking about them in small groups this week. And I said, the biggest word that's come out of both of these sermons is choice. We have a choice to either carry the burdens with us or a choice to put them down where they belong and be set free. And that's a choice each and every one of us has to make. God gave us free will to do it. But if we truly want abundant life and life to the full, we have to choose life and not change. See, the sun sets free is what? Free indeed. If the sun sets free is what?
Free
indeed. If the sun sets free is what?
Free
indeed. He's the only one who's got the key to the padlock to get rid of these burdens for you and me. We need to stop getting it off ourselves and trust in him with the key to the padlock that gets the chains off us. And then we are set free. See, we are called to a resurrected life. Not in the future. It's a resurrected life here and now. Because what the resurrected life does is breaks every chain, gets rid of all the rubbish, resurrects us into the image of Jesus so we can have abundant life. That's why we have a resurrected life now. When you look at the story of Lazarus, I like Lazarus, the story of. Actually, I like Mary and what's her name?
Martha,
thank you, mate. Because actually, their roles are reversed in that story. Because Mary, when they're sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha's doing one in the kitchen, gets a bad press. But actually, in Lazarus' story, Martha actually says to Jesus, come on, get this sorted, while Mary's sat at home. Different giftings for different times. Anyway, Lazarus, he says, as he walks out, and he's obviously like a mummy with all this stuff wrapped around, toilet roll or whatever they wrapped around him those days. And he says, loosen him. Loosen him. And yes, of course, it foretells the story of Jesus' resurrection in the future. But I also believe that Jesus is giving us a message here that when we come out of that tomb of mess and rubbish and crap and the rest of it, and we drop the chains of lies of the devil, it actually loosens us like he did with Lazarus. Takes the binds off and says, you are now free. Free to live. Death is no more. Go and live. And I think Lazarus was bouncing by then. He was saying, yes, I have been set free. I have been set free. I have been set free. I am going to live life now to the full, because I have seen Jesus resurrect me once again. What an absolute testimony that guy must have had as he went around Jerusalem. Because he was loosened by padlock at the cross. Such a fantastic story. And we need to believe it. We need to believe that our binds are off us, loosened. See, the problem is, though, when you talk to set free, to the world, they have a completely different concept of what free is. And this is what we're up against. Because to the world, when you say set them free, they mean it's anything. Anything goes. Doesn't matter what it is. Whether that's sexual, whether that's physical, whether that's the way you speak to people, where you have with people. It goes down to what Tom and I think you were saying about individualism. That's what setting us free to the world means. It's all about me, and everybody else can follow behind. I am free to do whatever I like. And do you know what that leads to? Sin. When people are set free in that way, all it does is leads to more sin. Because the boundaries are no more. They have no boundaries whatsoever. And all that curtails is more and more and more sin. See, Jesus didn't come to set us free from boundaries. He came to set us free from burdens. That's why he came to set us free. Not from boundaries, but from burdens. And that's why Jesus came. You see, I like boundaries. If the world had more boundaries, it would be a better place to live. You know, I'm quite structural anyway, as a person. So I like to know where I'm going, what I'm doing, what gifts I've got to use, and not share it with somebody else and think I've got to nick their ideas or giftings or whatever. You know, I am content. I'm content in my skin, knowing that Jesus is with me every time. And I know my constraints of giftings I've got. And that's what he wants each and every one of us to realize. Every one of us here has got different giftings, different styles, different personalities. And you have to use them to the full for him. And not start saying, oh, well, that looks good, I might try that. And I've had nothing to do with you. But the boundaries Jesus is talking about here actually sets us free. Because we're then comfortable in our own skin. We're comfortable to go forward with Jesus. And he uses us, as Amy was saying, to push forward, to work in him with partnership, to actually grow his kingdom here on earth. That's what boundaries do. And I don't know about you, but I'm happier with boundaries than I am for a free-for-all. It does me good. It does me good. You see, the tree of knowledge was there for a reason. And when you read it, it says afterwards, if you touch it, you'll die. That's quite harsh. But that actually doesn't mean then you don't have life. If you're dying, either physically or spiritually or whatever, that death may not drop dead then, but you are dying to a free and abundant life. The same with the Ten Commandments are the same thing. They gave them a structure to work in, a structure to praise God, a structure to work with God, a structure to partnership with God to make a difference to the world. These things were never there to stifle Israel and his people. They are there to give them life. That's the boundaries God was giving his people, to say, go and have abundant life. Just keep in this structure here. Because when you do that, you will have life to the full. See, we need to commit. I'll say that again. We need to commit. If we're really truly going to have an abundant life, we need to make a choice. Because when we do it right, we become a habitation for God. When we do it right, we become a habitation for God, so he can work in partnership with us. Because the minute you start putting chains back on, the minute you start putting restrictions on yourself, you're actually only having a half life. You're not actually living life to the full, because it restricts God's partnership with you. Not for him, for us. He can do it without us if he wanted to, but he chooses not to. He chooses the people like you and me, sinners of the world, to come forward and say, come and partner me and go and make a difference. But you can't do it if you're half-hearted, and you can't do it while you've got stuff carrying around. Not to the full. And this is quite challenging for me. I mean, I was writing this and thinking, wow, this is just something else. Because it is challenging. Let's face it, Christianity is not easy. But what we have is an awesome, powerful, mighty God that works with us and takes away these rubbish and burdens that help us through it. So what sets us free? The truth. The truth sets us free. The truth sets us free from burdens. Burdens that are now broken at the cross when we realise who we are and where we belong. See, by grace, truth is, we are children of the living God. By grace, truth is, we belong to him because he calls us by name. The truth is, he will never leave nor forsake us. The truth is, we are resurrected here and now, and we are now in the world, not of the world. The truth is, by grace, he dwells in us and we in him. Demonic power is crushed. The chains are broken, and he's a footstool beneath our feet. The record of our sin is no more than a blank page. And our future is secure. Our name is where? In the book of life. In the book of life. We're going to come to communion in a minute. And I was speaking at Bickerstaff last week, or the week before, about the two disciples that went on the road to Emmaus. And they were walking along blind, didn't recognize Jesus. I wonder how they must have felt at that moment in time. The Messiah that was promised to them has just gone. They must have been distraught, angry, disappointed. Their hope has completely gone at this point. What do we do now? Who's going to save us? Until this moment in time, when Jesus sat at the table, and in front of their eyes, did that. So all he did, he broke bread in front of their eyes, and suddenly they realized who Jesus was. They must have gone, wow. That's all it took, was to break the bread. And their eyes were open. And I'd love to think they must have skipped back to Jerusalem with a spring in their step, saying, "Yes, my hope is now secure. No more do I have to be distraught or angry, because I have seen Jesus now." And this is what it happens. This is a symbol of freedom. This communion table is a symbol of freedom. It's a symbol that our chains are broken. It's a symbol that the devil has no hold on any of us. It's a symbol that Jesus says, "Come, remember me, because I've done it for you. I've unlocked the padlock. I've taken the chains away. No more do you need to carry this around with you, because I have done it for you." And it's a freedom that, if we choose it, brings a life of fullness. So we can partner with him, become a habitation within us, to affect the community outside. You know, the two disciples, when they got up, Jesus just suddenly disappeared, didn't he? Like that. And I wondered whether he was playing games. Now you see me, now you don't. But no, of course, Jesus isn't like that. What happened was, Jesus has disappeared physically in front of them and dwelled within them at that point. So they had the power of the Holy Spirit to go back to Jerusalem and really make an impact on the community around there. So when we take communion this morning, remember this. God dwells in each and every one of us to partner with us, to infect the community that is around us. See, a life lived to the full ultimately points to Jesus. A life lived to the full ultimately glorifies his name. The choice is, do we want to? The choice is, are we willing to? The choice is, do we remember him in that way that our sins are broken, the chains are broken, we are no longer enslaved to sin? Because he's done it all for us at the cost. Because you know what? We're incapable of doing it under our own strength. We need him every step of the way to bring us freedom every step of the way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you set us free, the chains are gone, and we are no more burdened by the lies of the devil. That if we truly choose you, we have a life that is full. And Lord, as we come to this communion table, Tom's going to put a song on for us in a minute. Let us remember you, Lord. Let us remember you as we take this bread and this juice, that you were the one that set us free. And we do this in remembrance of you. So thank you, Lord, for this symbolic bread and juice that reminds us of who you are and what you did for us. And I pray today that each and every one of us takes hold of the truth that we are set free. So what Jesus did at the cross. So as we take communion now, let us just remember him.